station, people drive by, T-Mac on the radio. Got so much on your mind, nothing's really going right. Looking for a ray of hope.
Good morning, Salem. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, and we're together on this wonderful Friday morning, March 6th. And guess what? TGIF. Yes, thanking God it's Friday. It's not any Friday. It's Faith-Filled Friday. And today we are going to be looking at the national headlines and the local headlines from our faith perspective every day, in fact. And I'm so excited to have a special guest with us. Our friend Jeff Croft will be on the air here with me. And I want to show you some of the things that have been going on and bring to highlight some prayer points, too, as we go through and this day and look towards the weekend. Of course, remembering that our time changes on Sunday, right? We get an opportunity to spring forward. And I just want to encourage you, if you're a busy parent with little ones and certainly juggling a lot of things on your plate, you want to make sure to tuck those little ones into bed maybe a little bit earlier, because they don't really pay attention to time. And their little clocks are set anyway, right? And we could get a little nap in maybe this weekend and adjust ourselves to the time change. That will help. You're listening to KSLM News. We are News Talk Radio, here to encourage you, educate, engage, and empower. And with that, I want to remind you that our primary is around the corner. Yes, our Oregon primary, May 19th. Registration deadline is April 28th. And if you're not going to be around here during that time, make sure you register and get your absentee ballot by May 14th. Taking a look at the national headlines, you may have heard and maybe witnessed, or maybe you haven't heard, that there's a big battle going on in the Supreme Court right now with a law in Louisiana in regards to abortion in that state. And the wise legislators there made a law in that state stating that anybody having an abortion, any doctor practicing abortion in that state will have to have visitation rights to the local hospitals for continuing care of that woman if there's any issues during that procedure. And right now that's not happening. And so what happened is the legislators passed that law stating that they needed to have that, and the abortion providers blocked it. And there's a big battle going on at Supreme Court. And on one day before the Supreme Court, there was a lot of women testifying up on the Supreme Court steps, telling their stories of how abortion hurt them and how they're being healed in their hearts from that loss, and how it's important to stand for women and stand in the gap and say that abortion hurts women. And the next day, then the pro-choice side got up there, and in remarks from Senator Chuck Schumer, really, he crossed the line, threatening United States Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh. And his words are shocking. And as much as he wants to backpedal and say, oh, well, you know, it's just the Brooklyn way, you know, I just talk frank like that. You know, no, I'm sorry, Senator. Your words were shocking and they were threatening. And this is exactly what he said. And it's interesting listening to the mainstream media, even some of the more conservative mainstream media, they're not playing his exact words. They're cutting it off, making it sound a little bit easier than it really was. And he said, I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions. And we know that is a threat. Any one of us that would hear that coming towards us for any issue at all would feel that as a threat, trying to influence our independent Supreme Court justices in their decision making. And of course, our Chief Justice Roberts stood up and said, hey, you can't do this. And so we'll continue to watch this play out as we go through the next few weeks. And certainly something of concern and something of prayer. And we're going to get into that a little bit today as we bring on my friend, Jeff. How are you doing today, Jeff?
I am well, Stacey Ann. Great to be with you, and welcome to KSLM and your new show.
Oh, my goodness. It has been so much fun, and as you know, you learn how to get through the bumps and the technical things, getting a little green. I'm getting better, and we're having a great time getting familiar again with Salem, this being my hometown where I graduated from high school, and one of the blessings in the last few weeks is getting to know you. Thank you for what you do on the front lines here, Jeff.
Well, it's an important thing. I mean, we all have to pull together here. I mean, if you know, I'm quite serious about winning this war, the war that is being waged politically, and it goes beyond that. You know, I just did an interview with Suzanne Gallagher, who's president of Parents' Rights and Education here in Oregon. Mm-hmm. Another group that exposes the absolute garbage that is being taught to the brainwashing that's happening in public schools to some of our children. Not every public school by any stretch, but it's just shocking to learn this stuff. This is a war. It's a war not just for politics, but it's a war for liberty.
Yes.
For everything that our founders gave so much for so long ago. And you know, we just if we roll over and let this happen, then we lose everything we hold dear. That's why we have to fight.
Yes.
And you know, you're another voice that needs to be out there, you know, talking about these issues, you know, in a different way than what I do. And that's the great opportunity that you have with your show. And I'm excited to be with you, and I'm excited to have you here.
Well, I wanted to explore, I think, in my message to you about come on the show and let's talk about where do we get these rights? Who gives us the rights? Does government grant us the rights? Where in this American culture where we're at today, what our founding fathers a vision for an America, you know, where did they get this, excuse me, this idea of a free America that where we can pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Where did this come from, Jeff?
Well, it really came from actually a lot of writers much, much earlier. Plato had some writings about this and Montesquieu and others who began talking about how man has natural rights that don't come from any form of government. And back then, of course, it was kings and monarchies, and those were the form of governments around the world. And their early writings began then influencing later writers and thinkers about liberty, about human liberty, human rights. And that then led to the founders, so many of them, especially Madison and Jefferson, being students of these writings of sometimes centuries earlier. And a lot of it, so much of the way the founders designed our Constitution about rights, it really got a kickstart from the Magna Carta, mm-hmm. which obviously in England much earlier dealt with this proclamation that individuals in England had rights that the king couldn't take away from them, like property rights was mm-hmm. one of those things. But it's deeper than that. It's what we talk about today. Government doesn't give you the right to be a parent. They mm-hmm. take your rights as a parent away from you, but they don't give it to you. God gives you the right and the ability to have children.
Right.
Okay, that's a God-given right. Your right to defend yourself, your human right to defend yourself by any means necessary, mm-hmm. is not given to you by government. That is a human right given to you by God as a human being. Your right of expressing yourself in free speech is an inalienable right. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These are the things that our founders pulled together. And it took some time. There was a lot of debate about what to include in the Declaration of Independence. And then it was, as you know, the Constitutional Convention and mm-hmm. and how that all played out and George Washington's role in that and bringing everybody together. And the fact that they settled on not a democracy, but a constitutional republic, which is a very different thing. They settled on this based on, in answer to your question, all of these prior writings and the observance of how governments and how people had been treated throughout human history. That's why this America is such a unique experiment, because nobody else has done what we've done. And it was based on our founders' belief inalienable rights that can never be taken away from you, that are given to you by God. And I can continue to be believing. It's one of the reasons why our nation is still that, as Reagan said, that bright, shining city on a hill that attracts people that want to come here, because it's about liberty. But if we don't stand up for that liberty every day in our local lives, in our circle of influence, in our local governments, and certainly when it comes to the state of Oregon, if we don't stand up for it every day, we're going to lose it.
And that's absolutely why we are here today. That's exactly why we're being a voice over the airways, so that we can help reassure each and every one of us to stand strong and stand bold, because when we know who we are and whose we are, we can stand in the battle, and we know that this battle is not flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle, and it's an awakening of the eyes and the awakening of the heart, and it's so clear even in this presidential election. Just a couple days ago, I was just shocked to see the candidate Biden, presidential candidate Biden, stumble over the words, either intentionally or unintentionally, about this creator thing, whatever. Did you catch that? Did you see that?
Yeah, it tells you a lot, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things going on here that really people are sidestepping around. And Mark Levin, who's on the show, you know, on this radio station at 3 o'clock in the afternoon,
yes,
has not been sidestepping, and he's been hitting this hard. Something is not right with Joe Biden.
Right.
Mentally, I believe he is exhibiting signs of dementia, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only reason that I know that is because I'm seeing signs of that in my own parents. And I hate to say this, but it's really true. And he's showing those signs. It also could be that maybe that's not the case, but it's also that maybe just because, you know, being in a presidential campaign is an incredibly taxing experience. And it could be that he's just not, because of his age and his health, he's just not up to the task of remembering these things. Heck, he couldn't remember what day the primary was, right?
Right.
Thought it was yesterday, right?
Or so whenever, yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me that he doesn't understand this thing about, you know, God-given rights, because frankly, to be honest with you, I don't think he believes in it.
Right. Yeah, and it is a worldview. It is a worldview that is clashing right now before our eyes, being played out, not only at the Supreme Court, right, where we protect the right of a parent to have a relationship with their child, and what's happening in so many of these cases when we're talking about the abortion issue is these women aren't getting informed consent. They have no idea. They're not getting, like, if you and I went to a doctor to have a procedure done, even a tooth pulled, we would have informed consent and know exactly what's going to take place. In many of these states, there's not informed consent. We're going to get back to more Christian heritage and faith values and why that's important. Coming up next, stay tuned. You're listening to KSLM News Talk Radio. Good morning, Salem. You're listening to KSLM, Reliable News Talk Radio. I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be with you on this Friday. TGIF, thanking God that it's Friday, Faith-Filled Friday, and we're talking about our forefathers and their great Christian values and faith that laid the foundation for what we know as the United States of America. And this is an interesting quote from John Adams. The Constitution, we the people, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. The only foundation of a free Constitution is pure virtue. And if this cannot be inspired into our people, they may change their rulers in the forms of government, but they will not obtain a lasting liberty. A constitution of government once changed from freedom can never be restored. Liberty once lost is lost forever. That's from John Adams, one of our founding fathers. What do you think about that, Jeff?
I think it's right on the money. In fact, I think that ensuing, you know, national figures in politics in America, including Abraham Lincoln, said something similar. And here's what he said. And I actually have this on my computer because it is profound. Here's what Abraham Lincoln said. We the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who would pervert the Constitution.
Hmm.
And that falls in line very much with what John Adams was saying, in my mind anyway, is that the success of liberty is based on the rule of law, and it's based on our Christian faith. Because in our Christian faith, you're either going to abide by God's laws, his rules, or you're not. If you're going to be a Christian, then you need to do what he says. And you submit yourself willingly to God's plan for your life, his will in your life. And that's a hard thing to do, you know, for most of us. But we do it willingly because ultimately it's how you have an orderly civil society. You know, Mark Levin talks about this a lot. The rule of law and the whole principle of that is comes from God, but it works for us in terms of a system of governance because we willingly submit to the rule of law. And our president has been doing that. So, for instance, I have mused, and I'm not the only person doing this, but I've mused from time to time that when some liberal federal judge strikes down nationally some executive order of the president's or something that he wants to get done, they strike it down. I've been saying, you know what? Trump ought to just ignore it and just go do it anyway. Because what's this judge going to do about it?
Right.
Hmm? Send the army after the president? Right.
Right.
Right. You send the federal marshals to arrest the president? Right. Yeah. How's that going to work out? But my point in musing about that is that that's not the way to do it. The way to do it is to respect the law and to willingly, and Trump has done that. You know, they've gone through the court processes, and so far he's been vindicated with every case that has worked its way up to the Supreme Court or ended at the appellate court level for a number of reasons. He's won them all. He hasn't lost one time with all of these cases where these liberal federal judges have tried to stop him. But he's doing it the right way. Well, we have to do that same thing. As much as we you know, Kate Brown is about to try to do something in Oregon that may be unconstitutional because of the implosion of the with the Democrats giving up on the legislative session because Republicans walked out. With them making that announcement yesterday, all of these bills, including the blue collar family wage destroying job known job-killing legislation known as the carbon energy sales tax cap and trade, that's dead.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't coming back. It ain't coming back during this legislative session. It might come back in a following session or a special session. But my point is that Kate Brown is going to try to impose her job-destroying, family-wage-destroying, blue-collar job-destroying ideas through executive action, through executive orders. Now, here's the thing. She cannot impose that on anybody except state agencies because
wow.
Nobody else is subject to it
right.
Under the Constitution. If she tries to do it to us in the private sector or us as individuals, it's unconstitutional. She has to live under the rule of law, and she'll be held to account if she tries it. I don't know that she's going to, but wouldn't surprise me. I know her well. I served with her all 8 years I was in the House of Representatives. It wouldn't surprise me a bit. But the point is that the rule of law means something, and the success of our system of government, Stacey Ann, is based on us willingly submitting ourselves to God's laws for our benefit and doing that same principled action to our Constitution and man's laws to have an orderly society. So that we ended up in chaos like some of these or corruption based on many of the other systems out there. That's what makes us so unique. And it's why we have to fight for it because it's under assault and we better fight for it. And praying is the first thing we do.
And that's exactly right. Our prayers are effective. And I know that there's a remnant here in Oregon. Just that being back here, the short of 2 months, I have already seen a group of citizens who are concerned, who are praying, who are getting active. And it's kind of a frog in boiling water effect. We don't realize we slowly lose our liberties and we're just busy about life and doing the things. And we're somewhat concerned about the divisiveness of politics. We just want to stay away. But the reality is if we continue to do what we're doing, we're going to continue to get what we are getting. And that's not good. Not good for us. Not, as you alluded last hour about your grandchildren. We've got to stand in the gap. Our responsibility is now, and our grandchildren are going to look to us and say, hey, where were you, Grandma and Grandpa? Where were you? You were asleep. You could have done something back then. And now we're living with the consequences. And I know you don't, and I don't want to be living under that and accountable to my grandchildren in that way.
Amen to that. And I tell you, I had the great privilege of being a part of a last Saturday, a group of believers from various churches who came together, about 20 of us, at the Capitol steps. And we prayed for 2 hours last Saturday. And we prayed around the Capitol building. We prayed for our leaders, including Kate Brown. And we have to do that. You know, I believe me, I don't like Kate personally because I know her really well. But I have to pray for her. We're instructed to in the Bible, in the Word. And if you're going to be a Christian, you better live it. So we prayed, and you know, the Lord revealed some interesting things through words of knowledge through some of the people that were with us. And I'm not going to get into that, but there's been some really ugly, evil things going on in state government, in the buildings themselves, and it is a spiritual war, and we have to first attack it in prayer and take
yes.
back that ground, Stacey Ann.
That is so true, Jeff, and we're going to get into that. I'm going to have some questions about that as we get into after the next break here about prayer. And I have some ideas, Jeff, I think you'll be excited about that we can rally people around through this next primary and election as we're coming back. You're listening to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio. Special guest Jeff Croft. I'm Stacey Ann. Hold on and be right back. We'll get more into it. Good morning, Salem. You're listening to KSLM Reliable News Radio. I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be along with you on this March 6th. It's 7:35, and our temperature today, the high temperature is going to be about 47 degrees. Oh, that'd be nice if we were in the 70s. We'll get there. Overnight lows, 39. And this weekend, as we move into the weekend, you can look for mostly cloudy skies. High temperature on Saturday, about 47. And then Sunday, about 51 degrees. And right before the break, we were talking about prayer, and I have along with me my friend Jeff Croft. Thank you for joining me this morning and being a part of our show this morning, talking about faith, our liberty, where do we get our rights from? And certainly prayer is a huge part of our foundation of our country. We know our founding fathers not only penciled out, wrote out, prayed over how this new country will be formed and the different branches. And we know it wasn't done just from their own intellect. We know that God gave wisdom and gave insight through the scripture and through prayer. And the reality is when we pray, God hears. When we listen, God speaks. And then when we believe, God moves. And that belief part is taking action, standing strong, but also being bold and courageous and take action. And there's many examples in the Bible, many examples of people, even when they thought they were, you know, maturing to that point of retirement, they would do bold things in their 70s and 80s. And so until we are with him in eternity, he encourages us to occupy until he comes. And that doesn't mean just sitting in the corner, not doing anything. It means standing strong and getting active and connecting in the community. And Jeff, I just want to commend you for how you are walking out the call of God in your life, in our community, and through our nation. And I'm excited to be partnering along with so many believers in this area, people from different denominations coming together for a common cause to say, hey, enough on our watch. We're going to stand strong and make a difference. We want our future generations to experience America like we've experienced growing up. And we have an opportunity. We still have the freedom at this point to tell the truth and share our faith publicly. And I want to encourage people. We often hear, oh, well, I don't talk about politics and I don't talk about religion because it's too divisive. No, these are the very things we do need to talk about that. And I thank you, Jeff, for being bold and doing that. Tell me a little bit more about this prayer gathering and how you have seen in the time in the legislature here in Oregon, how prayer has affected results and outcomes.
Well, I have to tell you that When I first came into the legislature, it was 1999. I was elected in 98, our first session, because back then we had sessions every other year. My first session was 1999. And we had a chaplain, and his name was Frank Carpenter. And he is a pastor up at First Baptist Church in Hillsboro. Mm-hmm. And he would come down to the Capitol several times a week and have prayer meetings with various groups of and they were bipartisan, by the way, truly. Mm-hmm. Republicans and Democrats at various times, just Bible studies and prayer gatherings. And we had over the years, in fact, one of my aunts who lives in McMinnville would bring a group of women from her church, and they would come and pray a couple of times a month. They would literally just walk around the building during the legislative session, during the day, just praying. Mm-hmm. And they would meet with House members and Senate members and just pray for them, much like we've seen happen with Donald Trump in the Oval Office.
Right.
With these various groups of pastors and even college championships teams.
Yes.
Literally praying over the president, mm-hmm, in the Oval Office. And so prayer was a big part of how we did things, you know, back then. And I'm just going to tell you that it diminished and went away. And it primarily happened, if I'm recalling correctly, when the makeup of the legislature in terms of who ran it changed. And that really happened in 2007. Frank Carpenter went away. And then we began seeing these people, because typically the Senate or the House opens each floor session with some type of prayer or inspirational reading or whatever. We began to see, you know, witches, Wiccans, come and give their prayer, and atheists come and give their non-prayer, and humanistic things being read. And it really began then, I think, a movement towards the ugliness of what's occurring in not just in the legislative session here in Oregon, but what's happening all across the country. And it is being personified in the Democratic Party primarily. And I hate to say that to the Democrats who are listening right now, but you know, I was talking to a retiring member of the Oregon House of Representatives, a Democrat. And just the other day in the Capitol building, and he's been there a long time. He came in shortly after I came in, and he's been there nearly 20 years. And he's very frustrated. And he told me, he said, I just cannot take it anymore. This is the ugliness of how people on my side talk about and think about you guys on the other side. Mm-hmm. So we don't work together anymore. There's no partnership in some of these things. And I believe that in large measure is a result of prayer being really taken out of the Capitol building. Well, it's back. Frank Carpenter has decided to come back and hold prayer meetings and try to make them, you know, bipartisan prayer meetings again. I'm glad for that.
That's great.
What we need, Stacey, and what my vision is, and it really kind of came out of this one-off prayer thing that we did last Saturday in the Capitol building. And I say one-off because we just decided to do this, and kind of the word went out and people showed up from various churches. And my vision is this, is that we have churches from around the Mid-Valley area or maybe anywhere in Oregon that make it a point to at least come to the Capitol with some of their members at least once during a legislative session, short session, long session, mm-hmm, and just walk around the building and pray.
Yes.
And be recognized from by and you can do this. You can go up into the gallery that looks down on both the House and the Senate chambers. And if you've talked to a representative or a senator ahead of time, they will stand up and recognize who you are. Your group could be high schools, could be churches that are there just praying today. And we need to be doing that. I would love to see every day of a legislative session, some church, Catholic, evangelical, doesn't matter,
mm-hmm.
coming over, Mormon, just coming over and praying over the legislature and being recognized for doing that. It sends a powerful message. But more importantly, Stacey Ann, prayer works.
It does.
And it'll have an impact.
Yes, it does. And we saw this in South Dakota, working with the legislators there, the Concerned Women of America group in South Dakota, challenged their members to take on a senator or representative, didn't matter what party they were on, and they were going to pray for them during the legislative session. And they wrote encouraging notes every week that they were in session, wrote them a note, a personal hand note saying, I am praying for you. And if there's something specific you want me to pray for, this is who I am, and I will be praying for you. So that was on the personal level. And then they too had a chaplain, and they too invited people in, and they too encouraged the church and ministries, right? Ministries throughout Oregon can get involved and come up for a day. And what we had done out of that birthed something during the last election with President Trump. We got the idea that at 11:20, because in November is when the election is, right? And actually it was 16, 11:16 every day. Set your watch, set your phone at 11:16 for your alarm to go off and stop no matter where you're at. Business meeting with your kids, you know, in a restaurant, that little alarm goes off, you stop and say a prayer for this, for your elected leaders, for your president, of course, for this election coming up, that God, if we humble ourselves and pray, right, God will hear us and heal our land. That Chronicles, wonderful Chronicles verse. And I believe it was prayer that really affected the last election. And if we do something similar, maybe we set it for 11:20 on our phones. And personally, it starts with us personally being people of prayer and then finding out how we can connect. And I love, Jeff, what you're saying. It's exactly true, because when I moved to Salem a couple months ago, even before session started, I went up to the Capitol, because you may not know this. I don't think I had a chance to share this with you. But when I was in high school there at Sprague High School, I was an intern with Cecil Edwards, who was the state historian at the time. I don't know if you knew Cecil.
No, I didn't.
Yes,
I didn't
and
know that
I got
either.
To
That's
work
great.
With him, and I got this sense of awe of being in the Capitol. So I just tooled up there and went all around all the chambers, and I just sensed the need for prayer. I didn't know how it was going to come about, but that was something in my spirit felt like, this is what's missing. We need to come together in prayer, and through prayer we'll get strategy, wisdom from the Lord on how to effectively engage those who are in the process and help them see how this the policies and the laws that they are making are impacting each and every lives here. And so I'm excited to see this, Jeff, and I'm excited to work with you and let people know that we are engaging in prayer, and we're going to effectively turn the tide of where we're headed through prayer and through activity.
That's right. And if anybody, I'm going to make myself available, and I mean this, Stacey, and anybody listening to us right now that's part of a pastor's group in the Mid-Valley area or anywhere in Oregon, I'm available to come to just meet with them whenever they meet and talk about this concept of churches coming together to just pray, not on a partisan basis. So many people in Oregon that go to church are Democrats. They're Republicans.
That's
they're
correct.
Unaffiliated. Many of them are not necessarily fans of Donald Trump. That's fine. That doesn't have to be any part of the agenda here. What the agenda is, to come and pray that God's will be done. I'm happy to come and talk to them. Just contact me.
That's fantastic. And we're going to wrap this up here in the next segment and talk how we can get engaged in prayer and get engaged in this process of continuing to fight for liberty and the pursuit of happiness here in Oregon. You're listening to KSLM News Talk Radio. Back after this. Good morning, Salem. I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to KSLM News Talk Radio. So excited to be with you on this Friday. We're Faith Friday, talking about faith and the role that it plays in our daily lives and in our American heritage. And with me, blessed to have Jeff with me, Jeff Croft. He's served in the legislature for many years. In fact, his little business card that he handed me says retired, although there's nothing about living in this day and age about retiring when it comes to standing up for life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And Jeff, you hit on something earlier talking about our President Trump standing strong against the judges in regards to their ruling and saying, you know, what are they going to do? And I want to encourage, kind of following up from the last segment, talking about prayer, engaging churches. Yeah, you may or may not know of this movement with Tony Perkins. They've come together and did like a pulpit Sunday where they challenge pastors to talk from the pulpit about our liberty and our candidates that line up with our values and our Christian worldview, which so many times the churches are threatened that they're going to be sued or lose their IRS status in regards to being able to continue in ministry if they speak about these things from the pulpit. And Tony Perkins and a lot of pastors are rising up. I like to call them the patriot pastors, very much like the olden days, you know, where the pastors would preach and then they'd take off their preaching gear and then they would go and go to battle to fight for liberty in our country and our American heritage. And so they say, pastors, do this and record it and send it off to the IRS, because IRS, again, has been used as a threat to our liberty and our life and our pursuit of happiness. What's your insight on that, Jeff?
Well, I think it's the right thing to do. And I'm of the opinion that this issue needs to ultimately get in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. It is a freedom of speech issue. It is a faith issue, and it's being challenged. Not only are pastors, churches are being sued and intimidated all day long. Just about every day in America, a church is sued. And in some states, the assault on free speech is a part of that lawsuit. So in other words, part of the evil plan all along has been to enact hate crimes legislation. Mm-hmm. We have it in Oregon. Okay, we have it nationally. But they want to expand it to free speech so that if you preach, say, against abortion or preach against homosexuality from the pulpit, you could be accused and criminally charged for a hate crime as a pastor.
Hmm.
This is happening in America. People don't realize it. And that's why I absolutely support what Tony Perkins is talking about doing. This needs to happen. It needs to ultimately get in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. That's why this next election is so important. Donald Trump has put 219 judges on the federal bench, district court judges, appellate court judges, and obviously the U.S. Supreme Court. Ultimately, if he gets reelected, I believe he has at least one, maybe two, Supreme Court vacancies before he's out of office. Well, he will have the opportunity to continue to follow through with what he's done. And you referenced it in the beginning of your show, talking about Chuck Schumer and the awful comments that he made, intimidating comments. Well, that's why pastors need to stand up and speak about our liberty heritage and how important it is to be involved politically, not talking about one particular party or the other, but talking, really reaffirming this nation's founding in relation to Christian faith. They need to do it. I think that's a very good idea. Trump needs to get reelected. We need to make sure the court is full of constitutional conservatives who understand the origins of our Constitution and where those natural rights come from, being from God. Then I think this issue gets in front of the Supreme Court, and pastors will no longer be intimidated. that they can't talk about it from either an IRS perspective of losing their tax-exempt status, or even more importantly, from being criminally charged for speaking God's word because it's defined as hate speech. That's why this next election is so important, Stacey Ann, right here in Oregon and nationally.
And our elections have consequences. And again, we get what we get if we keep doing what we're doing, right? That's the crazy cycle.
That's right.
You can't expect different results if we keep doing what we're doing. And I just want to encourage people to get involved, to register to vote, to really look at the values of each party. And you're absolutely correct. When God looks down, he doesn't see a Republican or a Democrat, right? He's not looking for the donkey or the elephant. He is looking for men and women who line up with his word. And he wants to empower us and embolden us to stand strong and take courage and know that he'll give us what we need. He'll bring people alongside of us. And so I want to just encourage pastors, ministry leaders. There are many ministry, what we call parachurch ministries, leading ministries who are intimidated and in fear. And you know what fear is, Jeff. It's false evidence appearing real. And a lot of times that's what the spiritual battle is. They intimidate, they bully, they're very, very loud. And I heard this analogy that I love. It's like this roaring lion, and as you get closer to it, it has no teeth, right? And so we need to continue to be strong and be courageous and be equipped with the facts. And I love what you've been hitting on, and I'm a big one about message makes a difference. Let our talking points be the same. Let our message hit and strike like a lightning bolt and hit the mark of where we're at, and all get on the same page and talk the same talking points and show them that we're intelligent about what we're talking about. It's affecting our life, and we're not going to stand for it any longer. I want you to share real quickly about Oregon Citizens Lobby and how people can get engaged and learn in the process. How, you know, we might have someone who's a mom and busy with their little kids. Maybe she has a daycare in her home and she's like, I want to get involved, but I don't know where to start. Where would someone like that start? Would it be the Oregon Citizens Lobby and getting educated on how to be effective citizen lobbyists? How would you encourage them to get involved?
Indeed. You've been to one of our Oregon Citizen Lobby war rooms every Thursday during the legislative session. Whenever the legislature is meeting, we have a room that we rent and we provide coffee, and where we teach average person, average citizens, male, female, doesn't matter, to come in and learn how to be effective at talking to their legislator or talking to someone who isn't their legislator, but making a point effectively and respectfully, and how to testify in front of a hearing. I remember the first time I ever did that, I stumbled around and I really wished I had had some training on how to do it. Well, we provide that free for people. So you can learn more about it by going to Oregon Citizens, plural, OregonCitizensLobby.org, OregonCitizensLobby.org. And there's a calendar where we have our events. They're all free. Again, we're just an ad hoc group. We're not funded. I managed to raise a little bit of money from a local business person in Salem to pay for the room rental and pay for the coffee. It's just us citizens coming together to make a difference. So go to OregonCitizensLobby.org. You can learn more there.
And I think what we're developing here, even as you and I are talking about faith and prayer and action, I think what I see happening here, Jeff, is a summit, some sort of prayer and action summit this fall. Towards
I'd
the election, maybe through the summer, towards the,
yes.
You know, and getting the churches engaged. And maybe if you're hearing this, you're a business leader, you're a community leader, and you'd like to get behind that and see some sort of summit of pastors and ministry leaders and engaging our culture for change and inspiring this Northwest for a revival in a sense, right? And the reality is, Jeff, we're not really looking for a revolution. We're looking for results. Amen. We
Amen.
Want to see
Absolutely.
Lives impacted for good. Yep. Thank you, Jeff, for being my guest
Thanks,
today.
Stacey Ann.
Thank you for your insight. You have a fantastic weekend.
You too.
And
be blessed.
Jeff Croft joining us on this wonderful Friday. My friends, thank you for tuning in. We'd love to have your feedback. Like us on Facebook. If you'd like to comment on this show or you have ideas of shows in the future, contact me at Stacy@kslm.news. Until Monday, have a fantastic weekend. And remember, you are an overcomer.